Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Clay Travis joins us every Friday, presented by thehomeloanexpert.com. Clay, how are you, man?
Doing well. How are y'all?
We are excellent. How was Chad's debut this morning on Outkick?
I think it went well. I haven't gotten any anger. So I think it's going to be fun, a fun segment that we're going to start doing on Fridays where we kind of dive into the weekend of pop culture as we roll into Saturday. It's kind of a fun way to end the show. And let's be honest, I'm doing 15 hours a week. So by the time you get to Friday, I think like a lot of people who are going into their work days today, you're kind of ready for the weekend to get there.
I wrote this morning about Adnan Virk. And I like to dig into ESPN once in a while, not maybe with your venom, but with some experience there myself. So they fire this guy for leaking some stuff, and it seems so lacking in self-awareness in that their whole company would not exist as it does without people leaking them information. Adam Schefter, Adrian Woj, their whole life is based on people leaking them information. They've got a guy who leaks out some information and they fire him. It's just so tone deaf in terms of how things work incoming and outgoing. I know you've got sources from ESPN who tell you stuff sometimes. How ridiculous is it that they incoming is fine, outgoing is a penalty of death?
I think it's a bad look for them. I also think it's really dumb by Adnan Virk. Because the story that he's leaking on, I don't really understand what the benefit is.
And not right? Very important.
You know, I think usually when stories get leaked, I always try to figure out who the leaker is when it's an anonymous source, because usually the person leaking the story benefits from it, right? And I'm very confident in this. I have never been an anonymous source for any story that's ever been written, because my standard is, if I have an opinion and I'm not willing to share it publicly, then I certainly shouldn't share it privately. Now, I've never been in a situation where I've been like in the White House and a story really matters in a grand scheme of things and it needs to get out or whatever. But I think it's a bad look for ESPN. I think it drew way more attention to the fact that it existed. But you know, the positive on ESPN, I do think Jimmy Pitaro has been doing a better job than John Skipper, the new president of ESPN. And I just gave him a lot of credit yesterday, and I think they deserve it. You guys may remember the story about Doug Adler, who was fired for using the phrase gorilla effect during a Venus Williams tennis match. He said gorilla in the context of like guerrilla warfare, which is commonly used kind of to describe unexpected tennis moves. And he said he's been doing that his entire career. It went viral on the internet. They fired him. And then, it's just publicly this week, he filed a lawsuit over it. ESPN basically admitted they were entirely in the wrong. They're paying him out a substantial settlement. And they're bringing him back to work at the company. So, you know, while I do think they sometimes make really stupid decisions, I think the number of really stupid decisions they're making are fewer now than they have been in the past.
Clay, my first reaction when I saw this story that Adnan Virk was out was, I wonder if Clay's source was just fired.
Yeah, and I would never tell people who my source is or isn't. And there's obviously more than one person who I regularly talk to. So you don't have any reason to believe me to be telling the truth now based on that preface. But I've never met Adnan Virk, and I've never had any interaction with him at all. So I don't think this firing is going to impact me in any way at all.
How did he get caught?
That's an excellent question.
Well, it was pretty obvious because he the way I read it, Clay, he bowed out of a conference call, then he called to get filled in with some very specific questions, and then the information that showed up at Awful Announcing was the answer to some of those very specific questions.
Oh, okay. That makes it. That,
so, I mean,
that's
I think there's probably an element of, you know, just like you feel as if you can't be trusted. I mean, sometimes I feel that way where I have information and I'm not writing about it and it comes out. I'm sure you've been in that situation too sometimes, Kaharsky, where you've been like, man, I knew that, but I'm not the source for this story, but I wish it hadn't come out because there's not that many that people that know, and I don't want people to think I'm the guy who talked, right? And sometimes it's better not to know stuff. And I obviously know stuff a lot internally at Fox from the television perspective that I know is sometimes going to come out or it's in the process of being released in the weeks or months ahead. A lot of times about people who are going to be on air or whatnot in that respect. And so I think that's really kind of an interesting perspective in general.
So Jemele Hill made a reference to the assassination of Malcolm X during the State of the Union address with President Donald Trump and deleted that tweet and then issued an explanation slash apology. What should happen when something like this goes down, Clay? What professionally should happen to Jemele Hill at this point?
Well, first of all, I'm on the record forever, basically, as saying I hate to see people get fired based on tweets or Facebook posts or, certainly for what I do, based on 30 seconds of audio on a radio show, because I think in most of life, we should judge people on the totality of their performance as opposed to a small snippet that happens to go viral, right? That's my position across the board, because I think you guys would probably agree you're doing 15 hours of radio every week. Your regular 20. Listeners get to know you, right, or more. I'm doing 15 hours of radio. I'm writing a ton. I always think it's unfair when people who are not in your audience end up judging you based on, 30 seconds or a minute of audio or something like that or a tweet or a Facebook and stuff like that. Having said that, I think it's insanely dumb to tweet anything that could be connected to the assassination of the president while the president is giving a State of the Union address. And that, for people who don't know, that's what she did. She tweeted out the phrase that was said right before Malcolm X was assassinated and suggested that one of the famous congresswomen, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I'm not sure how you exactly pronounce her name, but that she should yell that. And then the implication is the punchline, at least that most people took it as, oh, and then the president should get shot. So, there's a difference between using a phrase, like, for instance, if a president is speaking and I said, hey, somebody needs to go all Six Semper Tyrannus on his ass, that's what John Wilkes Booth said right after he shot Abraham Lincoln. Like, that's different than me saying it in a context where it doesn't involve presidents being assassinated, right? So I think you need to be smarter than to use phrases made famous during assassination as punchlines while presidents are talking. And it's not just Jemele Hill. I think, last year, Johnny Depp got in a big mess because he said that maybe it was time for another actor to assassinate the president or something. And I don't remember if you guys, recall that going viral, but it was like, what are you thinking? You may disagree with somebody on a lot of levels. Taking the next step of, I hope someone kills them, is not the step that I think you should take. And I would also submit that if a white guy had said that about Barack Obama, I think that the consequences would have been more significant than a black woman saying them about Donald Trump. And my position in general, and this drives everybody crazy on the left right now, is that everybody should be treated the exact same regardless of their race, gender, sexual orientation, ethnicity, all those different things. So when I see precedents being set, I always want the precedent to be set. It's similar. Let me give you an example also. Like, we had that whole Kavanaugh situation with whether or not he should be a Supreme Court justice. Well, right now, I don't know if you guys are paying attention, the state of Virginia is just a dumpster fire. The governor wore blackface. The lieutenant governor is charged with has been alleged to have sexually assaulted a woman. The attorney general was involved in, they're all Democrats, by the way. It's a huge mess. And my argument is, well, you need to apply the same standard to the black lieutenant governor as you did to the white Supreme Court justice, which is just because somebody says something that you did was inappropriate you don't automatically assume that it's true. And maybe that's the lawyer background in me saying, like, hey, I think we need due process. But I also think we need rules that we're going to apply that apply evenly regardless of the identity of the person that is involved in a story. And I think Jemele has gotten a lot of passes for the stupid things that she said because she's a black woman and because a lot of people don't like Donald Trump.
We've got more with Clay Travis when we come back. But first, Clay, tell everyone about the Home Loan Expert and how Ryan Kelly can help them.
Ryan Kelly can hook you up. If you live in the city of Nashville, you know how much this city has exploded. You know how many different people have been moving in. You know how many property values have been exploding. Maybe you want to get into a new school district. Maybe you want to move into a new neighborhood. Maybe you got a new job. Maybe you just lost a job. Whatever your situation might be, all of those typically, unless you're really, really wealthy, are going to require a mortgage. And getting a mortgage can be really intimidating. I remember when I got my first mortgage, I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never bought a place before, had no clue how to go about qualifying. I was intimidated by the entire process. You probably are too. Don't need to be. It only takes 5 minutes. If you go to thehomeloanexpert.com right now, that's thehomeloanexpert.com right now, you can get pre-qualified. You can get hooked up. You can get the best possible mortgage from my guy, Ryan Kelly, at thehomeloanexpert.com. Give them 5 minutes today, and they'll get you pre-qualified for a mortgage.
Clay, if Todd Gurley was hurt, they would have come clean, I presume, after the Super Bowl and said so. And a ton of high-quality NFL reporters haven't gotten to the bottom of why he played so little in the NFC Championship game and again in the Super Bowl. This is a guy that they paid a ton of money at a position where you simply don't pay people a ton of money, a foundational piece of the Rams' offense. What do you suspect is going on?
I still think he has to be hurt. I mean, the whole thing is very strange. I mean, he had 23 touchdowns, I think, which is the most since Randy Moss back in like 2009, if I'm not mistaken. And he's a foundational part of their offense. They couldn't throw the ball. Nothing was working against the Patriots. It's nonsensical to me that there's not some sort of pitch count, you know, snap count that he was on. But you're right. I thought it would come out after the Super Bowl that that he had some injury that they were trying to avoid exacerbating, and it hasn't come out. So I find everything about the game plan that the Rams stuck with throughout the Super Bowl to be very, very strange, because what we hear all the time is Sean McVay is an offensive genius, and certainly you would expect an offensive genius to design a game plan that was capable of evolving and adjusting in real time when you saw that what you had planned was not working. And I was really pretty stunned with the woeful and inept performance that we saw put forth by the Rams.
Clay, how weird is this Bob Stoops to the Dallas franchise of the XFL story? I did not see this one coming. Of all the possibilities for Bob Stoops, him coaching in the XFL was not one I was looking into.
Yeah, it's wild. I don't know if they gave him an equity stake in the XFL. I mean, where he has the potential to just make out like a bandit, and he was not, you know, he couldn't bring himself to say no. I think it's a coup for the XFL. I think if you're a college football team, you're sitting around saying, my God, this guy, you know, left Oklahoma. We would have paid him $5 or $6 million a year to come be our coach. And I kind of am eager to see what the overall financial terms are for an XFL team. He's not very far from Norman. You know, it's not very far from Norman to get down to Dallas, Texas. Maybe he just got bored. I thought he would coach again. I thought he was too young to retire in the same way that I think Urban Meyer will coach again. I think he's too young to officially have retired. But I still find it to be an incredibly strange story, but good for the XFL.
Clay, with the Alliance of American Football kicking off Saturday night on CBS, what will you deem a success rating-wise, and will you be gambling on the AAF?
You know, I looked at the spreads. I did. I don't know enough about the talent or how the game will look. I like to watch, you know, the first week or so or a couple of weeks of a season to kind of get a read on what to anticipate. I don't know about you guys. I miss football when football ends. But I don't miss football in February, and I don't miss football in March. When I start to miss football is really kind of like April and May. You know, after March Madness is over, after college basketball is complete, I definitely would like to watch football in, you know, like maybe late April, May, June, July, when it's the dog days of the summer before training camp is really underway in the NFL. So if they had asked me, I think the time to start a league like this is right after March Madness ends. Like, run a league for the rest of April, for all of May, maybe for June as well. I think I would have interest in that into July to play the playoffs. I don't know necessarily that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to put on the television and watch minor league football this weekend. Will I maybe do it? Possibly. But I'm much more interested in watching the home stretch races in college basketball, honestly, than I am any more football right now.
Do you think the Alliance has the upper hand because they kick off this year? Or would you rather be the XFL to have a full calendar year to see what works and what doesn't work in the new league right now? I don't know where I would stand on that.
I wish there were not two leagues, right? I think it would make sense for them to go ahead and merge and not make me compete with which league am I going to pay attention to. So I would say that the American Football League or whatever it's called has an advantage because they're starting right now. But I think that there are going to be some really big partnerships that the XFL is going to be able to announce with media rights. And I think, you know, for a startup league like this, I buy into more Vince McMahon, notwithstanding the fact that he's failed once before, but I buy in more to the idea that he is able to draw media attention, almost like I would with Dana White with, say, the XFL, than I do with the people behind the AFL.
And I'm glad you mentioned Vince McMahon. I wanted to ask you about him. For the football fan out there that's not a WWE fan, does Vince McMahon's association with the XFL, again, does it hurt that fan and their interest in the league, or does it help to know someone like Vince McMahon's behind the league?
I think it helps because you know he's a showman, because you know he'll spend money on talent. Look, I think ultimately what these leagues are going to need is they need guys that people have opinions on at the quarterback position to be in these leagues. They need to have a Johnny Manziel out there in the XFL starts. They need, honestly, potentially a Colin Kaepernick. They need guys at the quarterback position that people have opinions on. And the other thing I think they need to do is I think they need to go aggressively after star athletes from college. For instance, the XFL has now come out and said that they will pay players after their high school careers if they're good enough or after their freshman years in college. If Vince McMahon could go pay Trevor Lawrence $5 million a year to play in the XFL for the next 2 years, would that potentially be a compelling idea for Trevor Lawrence to go develop in a pro league as opposed to at Clemson? I don't think he would go, but I think that's certainly an argument that the Maurice Clarets, the Mike Williams back in the day have made, that they don't want to get their bodies beat up in college for free. I think there are probably a lot of pretty decent college athletes that would prefer to be making some money in the XFL and biding their time until they're ready for the NFL. I think that's a talent pipeline that could breed a lot of interest.
Clay, thanks so much, man, and we'll catch up next Friday.
All right, appreciate you all. Thanks a lot.